Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals, presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Brought to you by Quaker Oats.
Huskies, mush!
Sam Higby was an expert dog puncher. He worked for the Edwards Freighting Company, driving shipments from Beacon City to Dawson. He was making a regularly scheduled run when suddenly...
This is a holdup!
Stop those dogs!
Oh, ho, ho, you huskies! Ho there!
Oh. Red, take his gun.
Right. Keep your hands up, mister.
All right, all right.
I have your six gun.
Good. Mister, take your snowshoes and the sled and start walking back to Beacon City.
Oh, wait a minute. You're making a mistake. No gold on this sled.
We are different. Start walking.
Yeah, all right. All right. I'm going.
The two gunmen watched until Sam was well on his way to town. Then they continued along the trail with the stolen sled and dog.
Mush! Mush there! Mush!
Several hours later, Sam entered the company's office in Beacon City. Dave Clancy, the local manager of the line, was at his desk.
Sam, how come you're back in town?
Dave, I lost the sled and dog.
What? Another robbery?
Yeah. They were waiting on the trail about 6 miles out of town. Both of the crooks had their faces covered with bandanas. They told me to put on my snowshoes and start walking.
We've lost 4 shipments in the last month.
What was on the sled I was driving to Dawson?
$10,000 worth of gold, for one thing.
$10,000, huh? Well, if I didn't know what I was hauling, how could the crooks know?
I wish I knew. Mr. Edwards will ask the same thing when I turn in a report.
Should I put this wood in the stove, Mr. Clancy?
Yeah, Calico.
Howdy, Mr. Higby.
Oh, hello, Calico. Dave, I'm downright sorry about losing the shipment.
It wasn't your fault, Sam.
Oh, Dave Clancy.
What? Mr. Edwards, I didn't know you were in town, sir.
I just arrived.
Sam, you know Mr. Edwards, the big boss of our outfit, don't you? Sam Higby's one of our best dog punchers, Mr. Edwards.
Hello, Sam.
Well, howdy, sir. I reckon you're here to see about the robberies, Mr. Edwards.
Yes, Sam.
Just a minute, Mr. Edwards. Calico,
yes?
That's enough wood in the stove.
But, Mr. Clancy, there's hardly enough here to keep the good blaze going.
I'll take care of it.
I'm almost finished. Only take a minute.
Forget it.
All right, if you say so.
Vamoose.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I reckon Mr. Simpson will be looking for me at the cafe anyway. Goodbye.
Well, who's that, Dave?
He's called Calico. I don't know as I've ever heard his last name. He sweeps the cafe for Dick Simpson at night and does odd jobs for me during the day. Why, sir?
He doesn't seem to be very bright.
He's not.
Well, reckon I'll get along, too. You know where to reach me, Dave.
Yeah, Sam.
So long, Mr. Edwards.
Goodbye, Sam.
Mr. Edwards, sir. Sam shipped out this morning with a load for Dawson. He came back a few minutes ago.
Came back?
Yes, sir. He was held up on the trail 6 miles from town.
Another robbery.
$10,000 was on the sled.
Who knew about the shipment?
No one but me. That's what I don't savvy. Every time we lose a sled, it's carrying cash or dust.
Then the thieves know when valuable shipments are made.
They must.
Who's tipping them off?
Give my right arm to know. I've reported to Constable Barrow. He's been working on the case.
Has he learned anything?
Hell, he'd be able to answer that himself. I just saw him passing the window. I think he's on his way here.
Glad you're here, Dave.
Come on in, Constable. This is Mr. Edwards. He's the owner of the line. Mr. Edwards, Constable Barrow.
How are you?
Mr. Edwards.
Constable, you're just in time to receive word of another robbery.
Another one?
That's right. Sam Higby reported it.
I see. Dave, I have a line on the fellas behind the holdups.
What's that?
Have.
I think your troubles are just about over.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Mothers, have you sent for your beautiful hand-painted spoon rest? It's a special bargain in the popular apple pattern chinaware, offered now at amazing low prices on packages of delicious Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats. It's the genuine handicraft of the Tennessee mountain folks, hand-painted under the glaze. You'll want to order the whole set when you see how charming your spoon rest is. It's so handy, too. Holds a dripping spoon while you're cooking. It's perfect for jelly, mayonnaise, nuts, as a coaster or ashtray. Makes wonderful Christmas gifts. This apple pattern spoon rest is a $1 value, yours for only 40 cents and one blue star from a package of economical, nourishing Quaker or Mother's Oats. Get in on the limited supply. For each hand-painted spoon rest you want, send 40 cents in coin, your name, address, and blue star from Quaker or Mother's Oats package. Send to Quaker China, Box 1088, Chicago 77, Illinois. Send now tonight to Quaker China, Box 1088, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now to continue. John Edwards, the owner of a freighting company, and Dave Clancy, the manager of the local office, we're both glad to hear Constable Barrow say...
I think I have a line on the fellas behind the holdups.
Who's guilty, Constable?
It might be one of two men, Mr. Edwards. Dave, mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. You thought you were the only one who knew when valuable shipments were made. Didn't you overlook the men who've been sending gold and cash to Dawson?
See, he's right, Dave. If I were shipping cash or gold, I could tip off the robbers. They could rob the freight sled and split the cash with me. Company would make good the law, so I'd be ahead my share of the stolen money.
That's how it looks to me.
Constable, I think you've hit it.
There's one gent who's had cash on every doggone sled that's been stopped. Not only that, he knows our schedule as well as I do.
Dick Simpson.
Right.
Simpson?
He owns the cafe, Mr. Edwards.
Do you suspect Simpson, Constable?
A lot of things point to him. Aside from the fact that sleds are stopped whenever he sends cash, he has ways of knowing when other men send gold or cash.
Oh.
Well, men are inclined to be talkative when they relax over food and drinks in the cafe. Dick just has to keep his ears open.
But do you have any proof against Simpson?
I believe two men might be behind the holdups. Dick Simpson is one of the two.
And who's the other?
I expect to have the answer to that this evening, after I talk to Dick Simpson.
Darkness was falling as Constable Barrow entered Dick Simpson's office in the Beacon City Cafe.
Hello, Simpson.
Well, come on in, Constable. I'll have this lamp going in a minute.
Any likelihood of anyone disturbing us?
I don't think so.
Just to make sure, I'll lock the door.
Sit down. Tell me what's on your mind, Constable.
Thanks. Dick, you're familiar with the freighting schedule, aren't you?
Sure, I do a lot of business with the Edwards outfit. When I'm not making a shipment to Dawson, I generally expect one from there.
Uh-huh. Then you're in a good position to know when the sleds are carrying gold.
I know when they're carrying my gold.
Yes. Sleds have been robbed when they were carrying your gold.
That's right. But I didn't really lose anything because of the robberies. The company made good my losses, so... Hey, are you suggesting
I'm not suggesting anything. I have a line on the man behind the robberies, and I'll be frank with you, Dick. Until a few minutes ago, I thought it might be you.
I don't know any more about the holdups than you do. Just because I know the freight schedule doesn't mean I'm mixed up in the robberies. You'll need more than that, Barrow, if you think
I... Now, hold on, Dick.
But doggone it, you've practically accused me of getting rich on the holdups.
I said no such thing.
I don't need cash. I have a mighty comfortable income from my cafe. I'd be crazy to risk what I have by turning criminal.
Oh, calm down, Dick, and give me some information.
What kind of information?
I'll ask the questions. You supply the answers.
As Constable Barrow proceeded to question the cafe owner, Sergeant Preston and his great dog, Yukon King, entered the cafe.
Excuse me, Sergeant.
Certainly.
Calico, the swamper, stepped out of the Mountie's way and stood looking after Preston as he crossed the room with a mighty dog at his side. As Preston strode toward the bar, Calico hurried from the cafe.
Howdy, Sergeant Preston.
Oh, hello, Pete.
What brings you to Beacon City? We haven't seen you in these parts for 2 or 3 years.
I'm here to renew old friendships, Pete.
More than likely, you're here to see how a greenhorn constable's making out.
Where's Dick Simpson?
He's in his office talking to Constable Barrow.
Oh, that door back there lead to the office?
That's it. Those shots came from Simpson's office.
Who's in there?
Hey, what's going on here?
The sound of muffled shots fired in Dick Simpson's office sent Preston and his dog hurrying toward the rear of the cafe.
Sergeant Preston's here. He'll see what the trouble is.
Somebody Mountie tried the door, but it was locked.
The door is locked.
Mr. Simpson's the only one who has a key.
Dick! Dick Simpson!
No answer.
Stand aside. I'll break the door.
Sergeant Preston threw his weight against the locked door, hitting it with his shoulder until it splintered beneath the onslaught. Preston saw Constable Barrow sprawled on the floor of the office. Dick Simpson stood in the middle of the room. There was a dazed, bewildered look on his face. The sergeant hurried to the side of the fallen constable.
He's dead.
Sergeant, I didn't kill him. I swear it. Everything happened so fast. We were sitting here talking, and all of a sudden there were shots.
Anyone in here with you and the constable?
I know. We were alone.
Boss, why did you kill him?
I didn't kill him. Someone fired from the window.
Doubt and disbelief was on the faces of the men who had crowded into the office. Sergeant Preston walked to the window and studied the sill. Powder burns on the wood convinced him that Dick Simpson was telling the truth. Raising the partially open sash, Preston looked at the alleyway outside. He saw that the wind had swept the ground clear of snow. There were no footprints beneath the window to betray the killer. Preston turned back to the men in the office and said,
"Where's the gun that killed the constable?"
"Why,
Boss, what you do with the gun?"
"I didn't have a gun. I tell you, I didn't shoot him."
"Sergeant Preston, here's the gun."
"You have the gun, Calico?"
"That's my gun. I generally keep it beside the cash register in the cafe. Someone must have stolen it."
"You said the shots came from outside, so I looked. The gun was right below the window on the ground."
"Simpson could have tossed it out."
"I didn't. Whoever shot the constable must have dropped the gun when he was making a getaway."
"I heard that the constable suspected Simpson of being behind the holdups around here. When Barrow came to question Simpson, Simpson shot him."
"Boss, you should have known you couldn't get away with it."
"I didn't kill him. I swear I didn't. Sergeant Preston, you've got to believe me."
"Come along, Dick. I'll have to take you into custody."
"But I've never killed anyone. I'm innocent, I tell you. Innocent."
After putting Dick Simpson in jail, Sergeant Preston and King went to the alley behind the cafe. According to Dick's story, the killer had stood in the alley and fired through the window.
"King, if anyone stood beneath this window, you'll be able to pick up his scent. Go to it, boy. I want to know who stood here."
Great dog had no difficulty picking up the scent. He led Preston from the alley toward the front of the building. As Preston was about to enter the cafe, Calico emerged.
"Sergeant Preston, you're coming back to ask more questions?"
"Just looking around, Calico. Where are you going?"
"Home. I'm through for the night." "What's wrong with your dog? He acts as if he don't like me."
"Steady, King."
"What's he barking at? I haven't done anything to him."
The great dog was trying to tell his master that this was the man whose scent he had picked up outside the window. Preston understood, but he thought King was mistaken.
"Don't worry about it, Calico. Good night."
"Good night, Sergeant."
"King, I think you're wrong. I know Calico was outside the window. We went there to pick up the gun, but he's not the man we want. Come on, boy, we'll try again."
Preston and King returned to the window. King spent several minutes looking for a scent, and he acted as if he wanted to make no mistake. When he was satisfied that he had the scent, he led his master again to the front of the cafe. Then he turned and went directly to a small shack in the middle of town. He paused at the doorway.
"All right, King, we'll see who lives here."
Preston moved to the rear of the cabin. He looked through a narrow window and exclaimed,
"Calico."
Unaware that he was being watched, Calico was filling a tea kettle with water. Preston saw no one else in the small one-room shack.
"Come on, King. We'll go back to the jail."
Sergeant Preston was puzzled. Twice King had led him directly to Calico. At first he thought King had been mistaken, but he knew the intelligent dog would not make the same error a second time. Preston was thoughtful when he entered the jail.
Sergeant Preston, there was a mob outside a little while ago. I think the folks in town plan to lynch me.
Don't worry, Dick. There'll be no lynching.
I thought those men were my friends. Now they're all against me. They think I killed Constable Barrow. They'll not believe me.
I believe you.
You do? But you arrested me. You put me in jail.
The arrest was routine. I had to do it in view of the evidence. Furthermore, I wanted to give the real killer a false sense of security. And now I want some information.
What is it?
Do you know when the next freight sled leaves here?
Well, I think Sam Higby's leaving tonight.
What time?
About 9:30. Why?
I have a plan. That works. We'll expose the killer and his partners.
That night, Sergeant Preston and the great dog King waited beside the trail leading to Dawson.
Yes, King, Sam's right on time.
Sam, stop your dog!
No, not on your life, mister. This time I'm Gears Patrol.
Hold it! I'm Sergeant Preston.
Oh, that's different. Whoa there, whoa, 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 steady there, whoa.
Oh, gosh. For a minute I thought King was going to jump me.
He saw you go for your gun.
I figured you were a hold-up man. Boss wants to get this shipment through to Dawson.
Sam, the sled isn't going to Dawson.
Huh?
I want you to go back to town and report another robbery.
You gone local?
Not at all. I have a plan and I need your help.
Yeah, but my job...
You'll not have a job if these holdups aren't stopped. The line will go bankrupt.
With Simpson in jail...
Simpson isn't the killer.
Who else could it be?
I think King answered that for me, but I'll need your help to prove it.
All right. What do you want me to do?
Well, transfer the load from your sled to mine. I'll cover the shipment with blankets and return to town. Then you'll go back to your office and report a robbery. In the meantime...
Sam Higby listened to Preston's plan, and then he returned to Beacon City, where he carefully followed the instructions the sergeant had given him. Next morning, news of the holdup had spread through the town. John Edwards was in the company office with Dave Clancy.
I guess we should consider ourselves lucky, Mr. Edwards. There wasn't a dollar in cash or dust on that sled.
What did Sergeant Preston say about it, Dave?
He sent word that he'd be here at the office this morning.
I wonder if he thought the same thing I did.
Well, what's that, sir?
This is the first time the crooks robbed a sled without getting a lot of cash or dust. They didn't make mistakes like that before Simpson went to jail.
Ah, that's so.
It seems to me that proves he's the one who was tipping off of him.
I see what you mean. But that doesn't prove Dick's guilty.
It would if we could make him name his partners and tell where they've hidden the loot.
Simpson can't tell what he doesn't know.
What is
it? I left my sled and team in the rear, Dave. I came through the back door.
Glad to see you, Sergeant. You too, King.
Hey, Dave and I were discussing last night's robbery, Sergeant Preston.
So I heard. The missing shipment's on my sled behind the office.
On your sled?
Then you've captured the highwayman.
I've captured no one. It was I who stopped Sam on the trail last night.
You?
But Sam Higby said Sam that he was...
Sam was merely following my instructions.
Sergeant Preston, I don't understand. What could you hope to gain by such actions?
Mr. Edwards, you reported the robberies to headquarters in Dawson.
Yes, of course.
You told the inspector that unless the robberies stopped, you'd go bankrupt.
That's true. I can't go on taking heavy losses.
The supply line from Beacon City to Dawson must continue operating. That's why the inspector sent me here.
But that doesn't explain why you stopped our sled.
I stopped it because I want to expose the real killer, his partners, and their hidden loot.
Now, look, if Simpson could be made to talk...
He didn't kill the constable. The powder burns on the windowsill in his office proved his innocence.
Powder burn?
Yes. Someone steadied a gun against that sill and fired the bullet that killed Constable Barrow.
And Dick Simpson told the truth.
That's right.
Well, then why did Constable Barrow tell Dave and me he'd know who was guilty after he talked to Simpson? He must have known Simpson was implicated.
Not necessarily. The guilty man may have feared the result of that conversation. He must have killed the constable to protect himself. And he handled it so Dick Simpson would be blamed.
Sergeant, do you know who the killer is?
I think so, Dave. But naming him will not prove his guilt. Neither will it find his partners or the stolen money.
You think you can find the stolen money?
I hope to. The murderer relaxed when Simpson was arrested. He has every reason to think that with Simpson's conviction, this case will be closed. Last night's robbery was to force his hand.
What do you think he'll do?
I looked for my suspect before I came here, but he'd already left town.
Where is he, Sergeant?
I don't know, Dave.
He's probably on his way out of the territory. And I'll bet he's taking the loot from the robberies with him.
No, we'll never be able to find him, Sergeant Preston.
King knows the man I want. He'll find him.
How?
When I went looking for the man this morning, I found he'd already left his cabin. I took one of his mittens.
What? Why, that's Calico's mitten.
That's right, Dave.
You suspect Calico of being the killer?
I do.
But I've met Calico, Sergeant Preston. He couldn't be the murderer.
No? Get ready to travel, gentlemen. King's going to lead us to a killer.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Look who's here. That famous teller of tall tales, your old friend, Gabby Hayes.
You know, fellas and girls, I was almost a goner one time during the gold rush days. I was shooting the White Horse Rapids in the canoe. Was going a mile a minute when sudden the canoe struck a sharp rock. The water started pouring in. The canoe began to wobble and overturn. Well, was I scared? Not on your life. I just had a big breakfast of good, nourishing Quaker oats. So I felt as strong as a team of huskies. You know, Quaker oats is the giant of the cereals. You get more strength and more energy from oatmeal than from any other whole grain cereal. Yes, sirree, Bob. So I heaved a long rope, a lasso, onto a tree along the bank. The canoe was still going like fury with the current, but the rope tightened, and I'd done a regular crack-a-whip. Canoe and all, we snapped out of the water and sailed onto dry ground with a perfect three-point landing. So you fellas and girls ought to see how the giant of the cereals can help you, too, like he does old Gabby. Every morning, eat a heaping bowl of creamy, delicious Quaker oats, or Mother's oats, because they're exactly the same.
Now to continue. Two men sat hunched beside a campfire in a clearing in front of a cave in the hills above Beacon City. Both were heavily bearded and powerfully built.
You know, Red, I'm worried about the murder of Constable Burrow.
You think the boss did it?
Sure. He told us he thought Burrow might be getting wise.
Yeah, why worry about it?
It might spoil things for us. These holdups have paid off mighty well up to now.
It'll not make any difference to us if they hang Dick Simpson for the murder. We'll go on as we have been.
Red, when there's a killing, the law has to get busy. If the boss was fool enough to kill once, he'll do it again. The second one's always easier than the first. Maybe next time he'll be caught, and we'll hang with him.
Maybe so. We'd never been seen with him. There's no way for anyone to connect us with him. When the sled's carrying cash, he leaves the sign where we'll see it. No one could follow us to him or him to us.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Yeah. As long as things stay that way, we're in the clear. Wait.
Hey, what's wrong?
I think someone's coming through the brush.
You sure?
Heard a twig snap.
I'm the one you heard, you double-crossing polecat.
Calico.
Boss.
Yeah, me, Calico. The cafe swamper. The odd job man. And the boss. Don't either of you move. Don't reach for your guns or I'll blow your heads off.
Hey, but boss, what's the idea?
Why'd you come here?
Thought you'd put something over on me, eh? Thought I'd lie low now that Simpson's in jail. Thought I'd sit still and let you two jugheads work by yourselves.
Hey, boss, what are you talking about?
Last night's holdup.
Huh? Holdup? We don't know anything about a holdup.
You lie, you lie. You must have found out there was cash on that sled that I didn't know about. You figured to split two ways instead of three. Well, I'm here for my share.
We didn't get any cash.
We didn't hold up any sled.
I said I was here for my share. And your share is my share, all of it. I'll teach you to double-cross me. Get out the cash, everything.
Boss, you don't mean the cash from the other holdups.
That's just what I do mean. Get it out of the cave.
But you can't do that. It's our share.
Throw down your gun, then go into the cave and get the cash. Or I'll give you what I gave Constable Barrow.
You see, Red, like I said, like when an animal turns killer,
After the first time, killing comes easy.
Now listen to us, Calico. Put down that gun.
You heard me. Get the cash.
Up the gun, Calico.
Who's that?
Sneak up on me, or I'll show you.
Oh! Calico!
Someone got him.
Watching, King. I'll reach for your gun.
It's Amani.
Keep your hands where they are.
I'm backing you, Sergeant.
Good. Keep him covered, Dave.
All right.
Down, King. Easy, boy.
I have a gun on Calico, Sergeant Preston. King is watching him.
Calico, join your friends. Go on. Stand beside them.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm
all
going.
Right, come on.
I heard what you said, Sergeant Preston, but I never would have suspected Calico of leading a gang.
He worked regularly for Dick Simpson, and he also worked in your office. Wasn't difficult for him to find out when Dick sent cash to Dawson. It was even easier for him to steal Dick's gun and use it to murder Constable Barrow.
We didn't have a thing to do with the murder.
Me and Jake weren't even in town when Barrow was shot.
Shut up, you dirty double-crosser!
We didn't double-cross you, Calico. You came here to kill us. You led the law to me and Red. But you're loco if you think we'll keep our mouths shut and hang with you. We'll talk and talk plenty.
Having your neck stretch is a whole lot worse than doing a jail term. The law has us for robbery. But they got you for murder, Calico.
Now listen, Monty. The loot's inside the cave.
I'll go into the cave and make sure of that, Sergeant.
While you're there, Dave, look for the stolen dogs and sleds.
Right. We turned the dogs loose. Sleds are in the cave.
Mr. Edmonds, I'll keep these three covered while you handcuff them together, and then we'll take them to jail.
But my arm...
The handcuff will be fastened to your good arm, Calico. And we'll attend to your wound before we take you back to town.
Sergeant, I found the loot.
That's the evidence we need. You two are under arrest for robbery in the name of the Crown. As for you, Calico, you'll go on trial for murder.
And to think I suspected Dick Simpson of the killing.
If you'd been framed as Simpson was, you'd look just as guilty, Mr. Edwards.
If it hadn't been for you, Dick might have hung for murder. How did you know it was Calico?
King led me to Calico. Yes, boy. Now that we've captured Calico and his two helpers, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
This is your friend Aunt Jemima. Would you like to eat better for less money? Then serve delicious Aunt Jemima pancakes. A stack of golden fluffy Aunt Jemimas with good butter and syrup cost only about 6 cents and makes a wonderful breakfast, lunch, or supper. So serve folks stacks of Aunt Jemima pancakes. Cost so little, taste so scrumptious too.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, I want you to go to Whitehorse. Make the trip as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir. What's the trouble down there, Inspector?
Two crooks are operating in that territory, and so far they've covered up so well they've left no trail.
I see.
The only description I can give you is that one of them is tall with black hair. The other is short and stocky with sandy hair. I want those men caught.
I'll do my best, Inspector.
Good. It'll be more or less of a routine matter for you and King. I hope you finish your assignment in as short a time as possible.
The inspector believes it'll be a routine matter for Sergeant Preston and King to capture the two crooks. But he has no idea it may mean Preston and King, along with another Mountie, will face death in the attempt to catch the criminals. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Sunday at this same time by Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.